You can record. So we were doing our chazara on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. We're on the very last Amud of the fifth Perek. We're on about the eighth or ninth line. Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel Ilmole. The first word on the line is Ilmole. Ilmole Leizochu Yisrael Ela Lahakpil Pnei Avim Shebashomayim Kol Chodesh VeChodesh Dayom. If only for the fact. If just for the zechus that we had to be mekabel the Pnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, to meet the Shekhinah once a month when we say Kiddush Levana, Dayom, that itself will be a tremendous zechus and sufficient for us. Omar Abaye Hilkoch, therefore, Nemren Uma Umut, therefore you've got to say Kiddush Levana standing up. Why do you have to say Kiddush Levana standing up? Because if the entire concept of Kiddush Levana is, as it were, you're greeting the Shekhinah, then out of respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one should say it standing, which, as we know, is the halacha as paskin in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Maremo Mazutra Mekatfi Ahadodi Umavorachi. Mekatfi, the root of that word is shoulder. They used to go shoulder to shoulder. They used to dance together, as we know. That's the minhag also after Kiddush Levana. That one dances, and the makor of that is from this Gemara. They used to go shoulder to shoulder. What exactly is the dancing about? So you'll remember we discussed this last time. Because the concept of Kiddush Levana is about greeting and meeting, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that generates simcha. As we know, Ivdu es Hashem besimcha boyu lefonov birnono. Didn't we just say that in the morning? Boyu lefonov. Whenever you're in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, then there's besimcha. Usmachtem, like the Torah says, usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. And therefore, you remember we discussed last time, there's many, many important halachic ramifications of this with regard to doing Kiddush Levana in the 9 days and before Yom Kippur, etc., etc. The reason why we do it on Motzei Shabbos is all because of simcha, Rachmano Litzlan. If somebody is sitting shiva, then lechatchila does not do Kiddush Levana. And that's all because of the concept that we're learning now, that Kiddush Levana is essentially associated with simcha. The reason being, we're having a meeting, as it were, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omalei Rav Acha Rav Ashi b'ma'arava, in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, mevorchi baruch mechadesh chadoshim. That was the entire bracha. They used to go out, have a look at the moon, mechadesh chadoshim. Omalei, hai nashi didon nami mevorchi. The noshim also have this bracha, which, by the way, is not halacha lemaisa, as we know. We paskin that women are exempt from Kiddush Levana, and not only are they exempt, the minhag is that they do not practice this mitzvah at all. They're also exempt from lulav, but they do shake a lulav. They're also exempt from shofar, but they do hear the shofar. But Kiddush Levana, they do not. Some suggest for reasons of tznius, that the minhag is always for a woman to be tzonua, and therefore a mitzvah which by definition can only be kept outside is not generally nahug for noshim, whereas shul, going to shul, is not considered public. That's inside a building. It's not in the street. Yes, Reb Larry.
Isn't it a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, the Kiddush Levana?
Correct. That's why they're potter. But so is lulav.
So then what's the whole thing? Then outside and this and sneers. Posh it, they're potter. It's halacha and kiddush.
Lulav, they're also potter, but they still do it. Shofar, they're also potter, they still do it. So why do they not do Kiddush Levana? We're not saying whether they're mukhuyev. They're definitely potter. Like you say, mitzvah seh shazman groma. The question is, even a mitzvah seh shazman groma, women eat in the sukkah, even though they're potter, and they make a bracha, they shake lulav, they blow the shofar. So why didn't they do Kiddush Levana? That the poskim can explain, because it's be a compromising on tznius. Either way, says the Gemara, Elokud Rav Yehuda, Domar Rav Yehuda, Baruch Hashem Ma'amorei, Baruch Shchokim, Uveruach Piv Kol Tzva'om. If you remember, we discussed this early in the week. What does kol tzva'am mean? All of the hosts, all of the various celestial bodies in Shemaim, essentially the bracha of Kiddush Levana is referring to them all. It's true, it's the moon that triggers the bracha, but it's referring to everything as we mentioned in the past. Choyk uzman nosan lohem. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave each one its rules and its timing. Shelo yishanu es tafkidam. They should not change their job. Sosim usmeichim. They are happy and rejoice, lasses should say in koinom, to do the will of their creator. Poel emes shepuloson emes. Everything they do is emes. Emes doesn't mean truthful, it means absolute. They never change. Velavalvola omar shetischade shateres tiferes lamusei botan. The moon should be mischade, should become renewed, renewed. So to Klal Yisrael, who are considered, can call the amusei boten, as it were, carried kaviyochol in the stomach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we too should be renewed. Shehein asidin leschadesh kemoisa. Klal Yisrael will be renewed, just like the moon. Just like the moon, as it were, waxes and wanes, it disappears, but then it comes back. So too, Klal Yisrael, even though we're in Golos, but we're going to be renewed. Says the Gemara, finally, in the name of Rav Chanina bar Rav Asi, that's why we're quoting it, ki betachbulo istas elochom elchomo, with strategy you should do war. Omer Rav Acha bar Chanina, Rav Yachni Yom Yoichanon, b'miyah tomoitze melchamta shel Teira, who can really fight a proper melchoma shel Teira? B'mi sheyesh lo chavilois, that's what it says, tachbulois, is from the word chavilois, bundles shel Mishnah, kori Rav Yosef anafshei v'rav tevuois, b'koyach shoyer, v'rav tevuois, b'koyach shoyer. What this Gemara is pointing out is a very, very critical principle. Rav Kornfeld told me many, many, many years ago when I began giving shurim in the Gros Shul, I hope this doesn't insult anybody here, he says, the hardest people, he says, you're beginning out, you're starting out giving shurim, you should know, the hardest people to give shiurim to are lawyers. That's what he told me at the time. I hope nobody here is a lawyer. Why? He says, because lawyers, by definition, their whole profession is they're paid to say something. Doesn't matter whether they believe it to be true or not. They're paid to defend their client. Even if they think their client is guilty, but they're paid to say innocent, they're paid to say whatever it is. So they're not trying to get to the objective truth, they're just trying to work whatever logic they can come up with. When a person learns Gemara, it's all about understanding Chazal's logic. Chazal's logic. That's why a necessary prerequisite for learning Gemara is modesty. Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the one who receives the Torah, is the most modest person, the most humble person, because it necessarily requires a person to submit his da'as and his logic in understanding the Gemara's logic, understanding the Torah's logic, understanding Chazal's logic. Well, lawyers are not trained to do that. Lawyers are not in the slightest bit interested to hear somebody else's logic. Our Gemara is therefore teaching us the following rule. There is a famous expression in English, everybody is entitled to their opinion. In fact, I once saw a book written by somebody and he entitled it, Everybody is Entitled to My Opinion. That's what he called the book. But I'll cop on him, there is an expression in English, everybody is entitled to their opinion. That is not a Torah Hashkofa. Not everybody is entitled to their opinion. You're only entitled to an opinion if you're equipped with Torah, then that's Das Torah. If it's not, it's just what I, with all my taivas and all my negias and all my midos rois, this is the way I see things. I'm completely bribed and corrupted. So therefore, if I want to have a Torah discussion with somebody, what would you say in the following case? The Gemara is saying, Milchamta shel Torah, to have a genuine war in Torah, meaning to have an objective debate in Torah. Every Omad in Shas has a machloikas, but you've got to come with chavilos shel Mishnah. You've got to come armed. Then you're entitled to an opinion. But if it's just a question of, well, I don't think this makes sense. Well, I would say I think he's in the right. No, this doesn't make sense to me. You're not coming armed with chavilos shel Mishnah. Well, everybody's entitled to their opinion. Torah is not a democracy. Torah is not a democracy. Even in the sugyas that we've been learning in Beis Din, where it goes to vote, etc., etc. But those dayanim, who are the biggest Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, are basing their judgment on Torah. On Torah. Then you go for a vote because we need to take the majority opinion. But it's not a question of taking public opinion. There's no such thing in Klal Yisrael as a referendum.
I totally disagree, and I know I'm right.
So that's the point. You've just proven it. Thank you, Larry. So Al-Kaponim, there's no such point, there's no such concept as a referendum. Well, why not? I can cast my vote. I'm entitled to my opinion, but you're not. Because the only opinion that counts in Klal Yisrael is the Torah's opinion. So the more I'm coming armed with Chavilois Shel Mishnah, then I'm entitled to battle Milchamta Shel Torah. If not, then my opinion, it's not a question of whether they respect me or not respect me. I just don't have an opinion. I don't have an opinion. Imagine if I would walk into an operating theater, into a hospital, and you have the two greatest brain surgeons there discussing how they should perform a surgery. Well, I think you should start from the left, I say. Really, why? Well, I don't know. The right-hand side looks very complicated to me. I'm not entitled to my opinion. I have no knowledge on the subject. So whether it sounds plausible or logical or kind or compassionate, it's all irrelevant. I don't have the requisite pre-knowledge. Kal v'chaima, kal v'chaima, kal v'chaima in the Torah. To have a genuine milchamta shel Torah, you've got to come with chavilo shel Mishnah, bundles and bundles and years and years and years and years and decades, the longer the better, of being armed with Torah. And then, yes, then I'm entitled to my opinion. Okay, says the Gemara, Echad Omer b'shtei shois. Remember, we had that you can have a small discrepancy with regard to what time of day it is. They didn't have Rolex watches then, so they were looking at the sun. So it could be that there was a minor mistake making. Said the maid, Omar of Simi Barashi Loishanu Elo Shois. It's true, if there's an hour or two that's not quite aligned, well, we can absorb that. So if one of them says it was 9 o'clock and the other one says, no, it wasn't, it was actually 10 o'clock, okay, we can absorb that. It's possible to make a little bit of a miscalculation. However, if one of them says it was before Nates and the other one says it was after Nates, that is too much to reconcile because the difference between before and after Nates is clearly discernible. One is lighter and one is dark. Says the Gemara, well, isn't that overwhelmingly obvious? Pshita? Elo, no. Echad oimah koidem ha-neitz ve'echad oimah b'toich ha-neitz. Not after neitz, during the neitz. It's all pshita. Ma'od ha-teimah ha-begiluyei koi v'zehuri ba'alma hu d'chazak kamash balon. Now, I would have thought that maybe that is reconcilable because we got mixed up with the zehuri. What is zehuri? Zehuri is the rays of the sun, which could be a little bit confusing as the sun is rising. So it's not yet above the horizon, but it's beginning to give rays. So maybe I could be confused for thinking that maybe it's already the Neitzach Hamo. Kamash Balon, no, that's a mistake that we cannot allow. And if that is a discrepancy, then that will not be allowed through. Okay, says the Gemara, Va'achar kach machnisin. Va'achar kach machnisin. Says the Gemara, and this is a quote of the Mishnah, V'achar kach machnisin, after the whole diyun, machnisin es hasheni. It says they would bring in the second aid, there would be boidekim, and they would bring in a Talmid if necessary, if they couldn't, if they he wanted to express his opinion, and he would sit there for the entire day. Says the Gemara, oisa hayoyim v'sur loy. Is it just the Talmid sitting there for one day and then you abandon him? Surely, v'hotanya im yesh mamash bedvarov. If the Talmid has substance, remember the Talmid is sitting at the side. He's not one of the Dayanim, but he says, "Excuse me, I have an opinion to express. I'd like to suggest that he's zakai." Remember, if he wants to say he's chayev, we don't listen to him. He's not one of the Dayanim. He indeed is not entitled to his opinion. But if he wants to suggest zakai, a zechus, then we listen to him. We promote him, as it were. We bring him up to the Beis Din. How long does he sit for? The Mishnah says, Kol HaYoim. Why only one day? Why can't he stay there until the end of the trial, however long it takes? It says there, Im Yesh Mamish Bedvarov, if indeed it turns out there's substance to his words, Lo Yoyo Yered Misham La'olam. He didn't descend from the benches at all. V'im Ein Mamish Bedvarov, if there's no substance to his words, then it's true, Ein Yered Kol HaYoim Kulei. I don't immediately abandon him and dispatch him, but at least he sits there for one day. Why? So that his promotion should not be a demotion. It would be very embarrassing If he comes up to express his opinion, we immediately discard him. So at least we let them sit there for the day. So what was our Mishnah talking about when it says you keep him there for the day? Amar Abaya, Targuma, Haim Ein Mamish Bidvarov. You're quite right. We're going to have to translate that our Mishnah is talking about in the case where there is Ein Mamish Bidvarov. It turns out there was no real basis, concrete substance in his claim. Therefore, at least we keep him there for the day so that it shouldn't look like we're just immediately discarding. Then the Mishnah says they now keep it overnight. They should not drink wine. Says the Gemara, why not? Yayin my time aloy. Why can't they drink wine? Omar of Achabam Chanina Marcha, Uloroiznim I Sheikha Oiskin Berozoi Shel Oilom. Roiznim, the root of the word Roiznim is the secret, the deepest secret, meaning the most important principles of the world, which is keeping somebody alive or putting him to death. And how does the pasuk carry on? Ishecho, al yishtakru, should not become shikha at all. Says the Gemara, loy ra'umai. What does that mean, loy ra'umai? So once again, the Mishnah said at the end that if they cannot come to a conclusion, then you will add to the Beis Din. And you'll have 23, and you have 25, and you have 27, and 29, until they get to 71. And what do you do at 71? Well, then they'll have to argue it out until ro'u, until one of the parties sees the other one's side of opinion. Remember, they don't all need to switch camp. As long as they have, at the end of the day, a majority in the direction of zechus. So the big question is, loy ro'u mai. What happens if nobody sees the other one's opinion and everybody remains unmoved? So we still have a split decision and we cannot come to a conclusion. That's it. So the case is adjourned and finished. Obviously, we cannot put somebody to death if it is a split decision and no outcome was reached. So if that's the case, why didn't I do that in the beginning? I added Dayanim, I got to 71, I did a vote, and it was a split decision, so I should just abandon the case. Why do I have to have them debating and debating and debating? And eventually I say, well, they can't come to a conclusion, so adjourn the Beis Din. Why eventually? The minute I get to 71 and I take a tally of the vote, I should abandon the case. We don't want the Beis Din to emerge the way Rashi explains in shame. In other words, essentially, it's a bit of a shame for a Beis Din. We discussed this last time that they're unable to come to a conclusion. If that is indeed the state of affairs, then finish, so be it. I don't have a choice, but we're definitely trying to avoid it. We're not chas v'shalom trying our best to put somebody to death. To the contrary, we're doing absolutely everything we can to save him. But nonetheless, we do want to reach a conclusion, and therefore we do give it one final try. So in the 71 Dayanim are now sitting together, we say, okay, have it out once more, discuss it. If eventually loy ra'u, nobody sees the other side of the coin, then okay, we have no choice but to adjourn the case. Says the Gemara, Ikka da Omri, some have an alternative. Omar Leira Popola Bay Valomali Yosifu Velifter Dinner Kama. Some have the question as not when you got to 71, why didn't you adjourn the case? Some had the question a bit differently, why did you even get to 71? The initial Beis Din, remember, was what? It was 23. So if they couldn't come to a conclusion, that's it, finished. Why do I add 25, 27? Amalei Rabbi Yosi koi kvoseich. Rabbi Yosi, in fact, holds like that. Yes, it's an excellent question on our Mishnah. It's such an excellent question that, in fact, Rabbi Yosi is exactly of that opinion. That a Beis Din of 23 is never added to, just like a Beis Din of 71, just like a Beis Din of 3. The Tanya, because we've learned in a Braisi, Rabbi Yosi oimek hashem, she'ein al Beis Din shel shivim ve'echod. Just like one doesn't add to a Beis Din of 71, kach ein moisifin al Beis Din shel esrim v'shloishos, the same thing. So in the bottom line, we have a machlokes. According to Rabbi Yossi, you never add to the bezdin of 23. According to our Mishnah, you do add to the bezdin of 23 until 71. Says the Gemara, Tanurabanan, Oimer bedine mamonos nizdakein hadin. A very strange word. Nizdakein, literally translated, is the din becomes elderly. But we do not say with regard to dinei nefoshes nizdakein hadin. Now, what does that mean? If you're going to tell me kash dina, it's hard, it's solid, like an old person who's hard, is solid, been through life. If that's what it means, so now let's apply that back to the original statement. It's a very hard din. It's a very difficult din to judge, and we're going to have to debate it and wait till we come to a final conclusion. Well, why would you say that in dine momenus and not in dine foshis? To the contrary, says the Gemara, the opposite should be true. If anything, we should say that dine nefoshis is kash, kash, like the word kosher. That's harder. Why are we saying that dine momenus? No, dine nefoshis. You're right, it's supposed to be switched around. It was a misquote. In the case of dine nefoshes, we always have to treat it as cash, as old, such that we would have to delay from making a final conclusion. Oma, Rav Ashi, Oma, no, you do not have to switch it around. You didn't understand what nizdakein meant. Umay nizdakein, adin, what does that mean? Chacham Dina, Chacham Dina. What does it mean, Chacham Dina? Chacham Dina means yes, the din is Chacham, is very wise, and we bang the gavel, the hammer, and we say we're very, very excited with this conclusion. And that's it. It's all over. It doesn't need to be revisited. That is only in Momonos. But in Nefoshes, we would never say Nizdakein Adin. The din is elderly and is wise. No. We're always here. We're always happy to reconsider. That's why it's only by Dina Nefoshes. Says the Gemara, Meisvei, we have a kasha. Godol Shebadayonin, Oimer Nizdakein Hadin. Who is the one who announced that Nizdakein Hadin? It's the Godol Shebadayonin, meaning the greatest of the Dayonin, maybe the Av Bezdin. Now, I Omret Bishleim Chacham Dina. If you translate like the second opinion that Nizdakin Adin means Chacham Dina, then in conclusion, yes, we're very happy with the conclusion. Okay, then it makes sense. Hainu de Omar Godel. So I understand who is the one who's most appropriate to announce that the din is satisfactory. That indeed is the Av Bezdin, the Rosh Bezdin. He's the one who's got to announce the psak. Elo I Omret Kash Dina. But if you say that Nizdakein Adin, like the first opinion, means kash din, means it's very hard and we've got to reconsider it. Maybe we should look again for the zechus. Lo sagia de lo yomar gadol. Isn't it? Wouldn't it be okay if it wasn't the gadol? Anybody is entitled. Anybody can always recall the din. Why should it be the gadol hadin? Only the gadol of Bezdin who says no. We've got to reconsider this. Anybody can have the right to reconsider this. Says the Gemara. No. It's embarrassing for him. It's embarrassing for him. Why is it embarrassing for him? It's embarrassing that we couldn't really come to a conclusion. It's an embarrassing thing, as it were, to announce that we're unable to come to a conclusion. And it needs to be reconsidered. So rather than somebody else saying this to the Godel, at least he'll say it himself. So the Godel of the Bezer will have to say, well, this is rather awkward, but unfortunately, we have got to a conclusion that he's chayev, but we're very happy to reconsider. Maybe we made a mistake, rather than one of the other Dayanim saying to the Godel, maybe you made a mistake. Says the Gemara, Ikka da Omri, some have it slightly differently. I omret bishleim kash dina. If you tell me nizdakin hadin means kash dina, means it's kosher, it needs to be reconsidered. Then hainu de'enu doima mispayesh ma'atzmoy le mispayesh Me'achirim, therefore, that's why the Gadol HaDin has to announce it. Elo'i omrit chacham dinah. If you say it's chacham dinah, which means that what? We're hereby announcing that the din is very wise and we're very proud of the din. So, Gadol Ashbuchei Mashpach Nafshe, is the Gadol patting himself on the back? Is he praising himself? Why is the Gadol announcing this is a psak and we're very excited with our psak? What, is he complimenting himself? He's praising himself? Says the Gemara of Ahaksiv, Yahalalucha Zor V'loi Picha. Somebody else should praise you, but not your own mouth. No, Shani Milsa de Beidina. It's different when you come to the Bezdin. The Gadol Ramye. Everything falls on the Gadol. The Gadol has nothing to do with praising or not praising. Any announcement, any psak, it's all got to go through the Gadol. K'detanan, Gomru Es Adova, as the Mishnah teaches us, that once they finish the case, Hoyu Machnisin Oysan Gadol Shebedayonin, Oymer ish ploini ata zakei, ish ploini ata chayev. It's got to be the Gadol. The Gadol is always one who announces anything to do with a conclusion, whether he's innocent, whether he's guilty, whatever it is. And therefore, so too, it's not a matter of gaiva or complimenting himself. He's got to be the one to say, yes, this is the conclusion, and we're very happy with this conclusion. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we're finished for the second time. The fifth perek, now let's immediately continue and do chazorah of the first, almost daf of the sixth perek. Nigmar ha-din. So the din became concluded, and unfortunately he was sentenced to death. So we begin discussing skila. Why skila? So Rashi says, we're going to see later, of course, there are four mises of Bezdin. Skila is mentioned first, therefore, so too, the details are mentioned first. I've got to take him out, as we discussed, means he's not stoned in Bezdin. Beis haskila hoya chutz lebezdin, which, as we now know, doesn't just mean it was outside Bezdin. It was actually outside all three machanos. Shenema hoitze esamakalo, hoitze. So you can only say hoitze if indeed he's got to be taken out. But if it was inside, he's not taken out anywhere. Echod oimer al pesach Bezdin. One person stands by the front door. Vasudrin beyodo, he has the banners in his hand. Vasus rochoik mimenu. The sus is not mamish there. It's a little bit of a distance, but at least he's able to see it. Kedei shehe royen. Oimer echod yesh lamed olav zuchus. Haloi meinif besudrin. So he would immediately, the one by the door, waves the banners. That would trigger the horse and his rider. Vasus rots uma amidon. The off would gallop the sus in order to stop them. Don't stone him. Don't stone him. So again, why did he have to be a little bit of a distance to the Bezdin? Because we don't want it to be too late. If the horse is stationed next to the Bezdin, then presumably that's quite a distance from outside three machanes. So by the time the horse gallops off and gets to the Beis Haskila, it might be too late. So we'd really love to have this horse as close as we can to the Beis Haskila. Now, we can't have him very close to the Beis Haskila because then obviously he will not see the person waving the banners outside Bezdin. So he's got to be stationed some point in between the Bezdin and the Beis Haskila. Va'afilu hu, says the Mishnah, even if the indicted person himself, he says that yeshli lelamed al atzmi zechus, I can actually come up with a zechus for myself. Afilu arba v'chomesh pa'omim or belvad sheyesh mamish bedvarav, as long as there's some substance. You can't just keep crying wolf. Yeah, I've got a defense. Yeah, I've got a defense. Yeah, I've got a defense. And each time it turns out it's nothing. Says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, beis haskila chutz lebezdin have a vesu loy? Question mark. If you tell me that the Beis Haskila was outside Bezdin, so it sounds like it was just outside Bezdin, outside the front door. Is that all? V'hotanya Beis Haskila yochutz l'sholesh machanois. It was outside all three machanois. So if I would say to you, Larry, you know, outside your house is Bet Shemesh. So that's not technically untrue. It is outside of your house. But outside of your house is normally understood to mean immediately outside your house. So therefore, it's not quite accurate to say outside of your house is Bet Shemesh. So why are we saying it's outside the Bezdin is the Beis Haskila, which sounds like it's just outside, but it's not. It's outside three machanos. Yes, Rabbi Larry.
The Mishnah talks about you need the flag, then you need the horse. And then why does the Gemara come back and say, by the way, it's not right outside the base? The Mishnah is clearly stating that it's a distance away.
So that's the question. That's the question. So why indeed did the Mishnah word it in that way? Why did the Mishnah say, Moitzi and Oisei L'soiklen, it's Chutz L'Bezdin? You're right. The end of the Mishnah clearly shows us, and it's even more explicit later on, that it's not Chutz L'Bezdin. It's much more Chutz than that. That is exactly the question. So the Gemara says, in. Kutaka Omrit, you're quite right. Absolutely. The Beis HaSkila is not situated just outside Bezdin. The Beis HaSkila is very far. As you pointed, you need the banners and the horse. It's outside three machanas. Okay, fine. So why did the Mishnah say Chutz L'Bezdin? That is not accurate. Says the Gemara, V'ha d'ktami hochi. The reason why the Mishnah nonetheless stated in this fashion it's outside Beis Din, nafkemina, is to teach you the following halacha. De'i nafik beidina, if for some reason the Beis Din themselves relocated the Yosef and they sat chutz l'sholosh machanois. Normally the Beis Din is in the city. The Beis Din HaGadol is in Yerushalayim. So where was the Beis HaSkila? It's true, quite far off. But what happens if for whatever reason the Beis Din needed to be geographically relocated? So where are they sitting now? For whatever reason they find themselves chutz l'sholosh machanois. Well, if that's the case, of Dinon Beis HaSkila chutz l'Bezdin. So then, yes, it could be immediately outside of Bezdin. Why? Ki heichi deloi mischazi Bezdin roitzchin. We do not want it to appear as if the Bezdin are murderers, and therefore the Torah, as we're going to see later, we saw it last time. The Torah teaches us through various limudim is going to be outside of Sholesh Machanais. Okay, so I would have been excused for thinking that if indeed the Bezdin themselves are outside Sholosh Machanois, well then I can stone him inside Bezdin as well, because the only requirement is to be outside of three Machanois, which I am. That's why the Mishnah teaches me that no, that doesn't suffice. You've also got to be outside of the Bezdin. Why? Who in the world cares? At least I'm outside of three Machanois. The answer is, but if you stone him inside of Bezdin, so it looks like the Bezdin are, as it were, trigger happy, and they're happy to stone him. We do not want that to be the case, so at least we're showing that, no, we're not excited to do this, we'll do it outside. Inami, or another reason, is kihechet etavale hatzola. Or another reason, the reason why it would be outside is not so that we shouldn't be appearing as murderous Bezdin, but again, every delay possible serves in our interest for Hatzala. So if I would stone him immediately, that's it. It's there and there. But if it's outside, it's true, it's not a big distance anymore, because we don't have to travel outside all three machanos. We're already outside three machanos. But at least it does save a few seconds to take him outside. It's another 5 minutes till they get going. So at least now we've earned a bit of extra time, and we've gained a bit of time. So that way we can practice once again Hatzala. Okay, we're going to press pause over here. So Mitzvah Hashem, next week on Sunday, Mitzvah Hashem will begin from the Minoah HaNamili. I would imagine in one shir, we should be able to reach the next Mishnah, and then Be'ez Hashem will continue onwards.
Asher Koach.
Okay, be well. Ramlach, we'll be in touch then today.
She said it's fine.
Ah, you already spoke to her?
Yeah, she was here. So.
Okay, so we'll see if it's practical tonight. If not, we'll work something out.
Okay.
Okay, be well.